in which Ruby plays matchmaker and Dean learns to stop worrying and love the unexpected. By C.L. Wright II. Read by X-Manhater. Summary. Sam decides to fix Dean up with Castiel, his girlfriend Ruby's brother. They're both loners, they're both kinda negative, it'll be perfect. But Castiel has a few secrets of his own, secrets that threaten the happiness of both couples. No, absolutely not, Dean says, putting his burger down and glaring across the table at Sam. Sam ignores Dean's outburst and takes a bite of his salad. Ruby thinks... I don't care what Ruby thinks. No way in hell. Dean defiantly shoves a french fry into his mouth. Why not? Sam exclaims. Cass is a really nice guy and you need to get out of the house and make some friends. Okay, first, Dean points his index finger at Sam. I got plenty of friends. Second, his middle finger joins the index. Do you remember Lilith? Sam grimaces. Well, she did give up after you threatened to get a restraining order. Okay, so not everyone in Ruby's life is completely sane, but we both think you'll like Cass, and I promise she's not going to let it go until you meet him. Sam goes back to his salad. Dean sighs and takes another bite of his burger. I don't know what you see in that woman, he says, through a mouthful of food. She's kind of evil. Sam's face falls, surprising Dean. It's not like this is the first time he's called Ruby evil, and it's never seemed to bother Sam before. Relax, man, I'm just joking. I really want you to like her, Sam says. She's a really great person, and, well, I love her. I know, Dean begins, but Sam cuts him off. Dean, I asked Ruby to marry me. Dean sits back, stunned, burger turning to ash in his mouth. I asked her to marry me, and she said she wasn't sure, because she doesn't want to feel like she's coming between us. I've never said anything like that, Dean insists. I know, Sam reassures him. But it used to be we only had each other, and now I have Ruby and I want you to find someone too. You're my brother and I love you. I want you to be happy. And Sam wants to be happy too. The words linger unspoken in the air. Dean blinks back the embarrassing and sudden sting of moisture in his eyes. All right, he agrees. It probably won't work out or anything, but I'll think about it. Sam beams at him. Good, because we're having you both over for dinner on Friday. A half hour later, Dean lets himself into his apartment, feeling extremely disgruntled. He doesn't know where Sam and Ruby got the idea he was dying of loneliness. He was perfectly happy. He had a great job, writing horror novels for the young adult market more than paid the bills, and it wasn't like he was a hermit or something. He went out all the time. Like, just that very day, he and Sam had gone out to lunch. And the Sunday before that, they'd gone to a movie together. And the Friday before that, Sam and Ruby had dragged him to that new sushi place. Which sucked, but whatever, it still counted as socializing. Dean turns his computer on and grabs a soda out of the refrigerator while it boots. Okay, so he does spend a lot of his social time with Sam, but not nearly as much as he used to. Time was, they'd had dinner together several days a week and hung out on the weekends, too. But now Sam spends a lot of time with Ruby. And that's perfectly fine. Dean has other friends. He goes to the Roadhouse sometimes, chats with Ash, the bartender, or flirts with Joe, the owner's daughter. He'd even played a game of pool with Ellen, the owner, just last Thursday. He'd beat her pretty good, too, he thinks, with a tinge of pride. Dean settles down in his desk chair, pulls up the Word file on his latest work in progress, and tries to focus on the most recent round of edits. They say if you look in the mirror after dark and say your name 3 times, Bloody Mary will appear and kill you, Caitlin whispers. Why would I want to do that? Ashley responds. Duh, to prove you aren't scared. Both girls look apprehensively in the direction of the empty bathroom. Dean stares at his editor's note in the little track changes box. She thinks that Caitlin is acting too stupid to live and that Ashley is unrealistically dependent on Caitlin's good opinion, but he's having trouble concentrating. Fine, he concedes mentally, propping his feet up on the desk. Maybe he's been a little clingy. But damn it, it's been him and Sammy, just the two of them against the world, for as long as he can remember. They've never really needed anyone else. Dean doesn't even think he knows how to get to know other people, at least not beyond the superficial level. Anyway, it's not like he's never tried to branch out. He dates. It's just that things never end well. There was Cassie, for instance, who dumped him after a month because she didn't like his books. And Lisa, who ended up having a kid with another guy. And Victor, the bi-curious cop who decided he preferred women after all. Oh, and don't forget Lilith, Ruby's college roommate, who seemed nice enough at the beginning. But then started showing up at his apartment at all hours of the day and night, until he finally threatened to take out a restraining order. So yeah, when it came right down to it, Dean hasn't had a lot of luck in the romance department. And even though he's generally happy with his life, good job, good brother, it does sort of sting that he can't make a relationship stick. He's a pretty good-looking guy, he knows. So why does he seem to be so unlovable? Great news! Sam called. Dean said yes. Castiel glances up from the hard drive he's reassembling to see Ruby standing in his office doorway. I don't think I share your definition of good news. He fishes through a drawer for a mini Phillips head screwdriver. Ruby narrows her eyes at him and flops into the leather chair opposite his desk. That, my dear brother, she tells him, is because you have no sense of fun, which is why you and Dean will be absolutely perfect together. Castiel abandons his search for the screwdriver and looks up at Ruby. You know I think this is a terrible idea. It's not, she insists. You're lonely, he's lonely. I know you think you deserve to be alone, but you need to at least try. Castiel rubs the bridge of his nose. It's not a question of deserving. If anything goes wrong... Ruby cuts him off. It won't, because you know how to control it. She leans forward. You aren't Uncle Alistair, or Uncle Lucifer, or Uncle Zachariah, or any of the others. It's a choice. Look at me and Sam, she says, blushing a little. It's been over a year without a single accident. Speaking of which, Cass says, have you told Sam yet? Told me what? Sam asks, poking his head into the room. Hey, baby, he says to Ruby, leaning down to give her a quick kiss. That he's agreed to meet Dean, Ruby answers quickly. Yeah, that's awesome. Sam perches on the arm of Ruby's chair and beams. I think you guys will really like each other. Castiel glares at Ruby. Yes, I have agreed to meet your brother, but I make no promises beyond that. Sam raises his hands in a placating gesture. Hey man, no pressure. If it doesn't work out, I promise I won't say another word about it. It probably won't, Castiel informs him, in the interest of full disclosure. Sam grins. That's exactly what Dean said. See, it's perfect. You're both kind of introverted and negative and... Ow! He flinches and rubs his side where Ruby poked him in the ribs. What Sam means to say, Ruby cuts in, is that we want you to be happy and we think you and Dean will be good for each other. And we'll see you at our place for dinner on Friday, Sam adds. As one, Sam and Ruby flee before Castiel can protest. He heaves a sigh of resignation and turns his attention back to the computer parts on his desk. So here are the facts about Castiel Novak. He's 34 years old with a degree in computer science, and he works in IT support for a large real estate firm in Lawrence, Kansas. He has a 29-year-old sister, Ruby, whose boyfriend is the firm's on-staff attorney. He likes going for long walks in the woods, watching old movies, and reading books about ancient civilization. He dislikes crowds, popular culture, and most social interaction. He owns several different suits, all in the exact same color, and he feels naked without his trench coat. He's also an incubus. Oh, he's not a practicing incubus. Hasn't been since he was 23 and almost drained Michael Marino by accident. One minute he's enjoying a really intense orgasm, the next he's dialing 911 because his lover is having a heart attack. The memory has haunted him ever since, and even though he knows there are ways to avoid incidents, he'd rather be safe than sorry. He's been celibate ever since, much to the dismay of his extended family, most of whom think that regular people are only worthwhile as a source of nourishment, and that, well, sometimes accidents happen. With the exception of his sister Ruby, who shares his feelings on the subject, Cass doesn't talk to his relatives much anymore. In summation, Cass doesn't date, he doesn't talk to family, and apart from Ruby and Sam Winchester, whom he only met because Ruby pushed him to apply for the IT job at Sam's company, he doesn't really have any friends. So it's not that he's entirely opposed to meeting Dean Winchester. He is a person, after all, and he does get lonely. It's just that he's gotten used to being alone now, and at least this way no one gets hurt. Not Dean Winchester, and not Castiel himself. Dean isn't nervous as he waits for Sam to let him in. This isn't a real date, he's just doing his brother a favor, and besides, even if it was a date, it's not like it's going to work out anyway, so he's not getting his hopes up. If he happens to have some gel in his hair and a nicer shirt on than usual, well, that's just coincidence. Dean, Ruby exclaims as she throws the door open. She's wearing a sleeveless powder blue sundress, and she looks kind of nervous herself. I'm so glad you could make it. She gives him an awkward little half-hug as she nudges him inside. It's nice to see you, Ruby, Dean says politely. He glances around the room, looking for Castiel. My brother's in the kitchen with Sam. Come on, let me introduce you. She grabs Dean by the elbow and guides him into the kitchen. Sam, Cass, Ruby announces. Dean's here. Sam is sitting at the center island with Castiel, who has his back to the door. As Dean enters the room, Castiel turns, rises, and catches Dean's eye. Instantly, Dean's mouth goes dry because he's looking at one of the hottest men he's ever seen. Oh, he's not the most conventionally attractive man ever, but Dean is dumbstruck, staring into the bluest eyes he's ever seen in real life. Sam glances from Dean to Castiel and back again as they stare at each other in silence. Dean, this is Ruby's brother Castiel. Cass, my brother Dean. Hello, Dean, Castiel says. His voice is deep and gravelly, and Dean has to suppress a shiver. He can't help wondering what that voice would sound like in bed. Maybe this setup wasn't such a bad idea after all. It's nice to meet you, Dean says, holding out his hand. Castiel's handshake is firm but not aggressive, his palm warm and dry. Dean grins. No, this wasn't a bad idea at all. Would you like something to drink? Ruby asks. Her voice breaks the spell, and Dean realizes that he and Castiel have been staring at each other for a disproportionately long time. He pointedly ignores Sam's knowing and satisfied grin and turns to Ruby. I'll have a beer if you've got one. I will have the same, Castiel adds. Sam leads them over to the dinner table as Ruby passes them their drinks. Dean and Castiel sit across from one another and continue their silent eye contact. So, Sam says awkwardly, Cass here works in our IT department repairing computers. He's very good at what he does. I don't know much about computers, Dean says, ignoring Sam's pointed glare. Dean, Ruby chimes in, is a very successful young adult novelist. I don't know much about young adults, Castiel responds. Dean grins at him and takes a sip of his drink. Castiel's long fingers are wrapped around the neck of his beer bottle, and Dean is already picturing those fingers wrapped around his cock. He's ready to get past these inane niceties and get Castiel out of that suit. Ruby and Sam are looking at them anxiously, and out of the corner of his eye, Dean sees Ruby surreptitiously gesture at Sam, demanding that he make conversation. So, Cass, Sam says, maybe you can tell Dean about the kinds of things you like to do for fun. I like to go for walks, Castiel responds obediently. Sometimes I go to the movies. I like to work with computers. Computers are much easier to work with than people. I don't really enjoy socializing, he tells Dean. Ruby winces. I think what Cass means to say is that... I don't like socializing either, Dean says, cutting Ruby off. Getting to know people is really hard work. Yes, Castiel agrees, and usually not worth the effort. Most relationships don't develop beyond the initial stage. Dean nods. Most people don't seem to like me after they get to know me. People think I'm strange, Castiel agrees. I'll probably die alone. Dean glances over at Sam and Ruby. Sam looks appalled and Ruby's mouth is hanging open. Dean, however, is charmed. He stands up. So I'm thinking Cass and I should get out of here. Maybe go back to my place and get to know each other a little better. Sam blinks at him. But dinner... I think I would like that, Castiel responds, moving to stand next to Dean. Dean grabs his hand. Sam, Ruby, he says politely. Then he leaves them sitting at the kitchen table as he pulls Castiel towards the front door. What the fuck just happened here? Dean hears Sam ask Ruby. He doesn't pause long enough to hear Ruby's response. Dean doesn't exactly have a plan here. It didn't consciously occur to him that he might actually be attracted to Ruby's brother, let alone that he might bring the guy back to his apartment tonight. So when they end up in his living room, he doesn't have so much as a drink in the fridge to offer. Castiel sits next to Dean on the couch and glances around the room, taking in the haphazard stacks of paper with an air of intense and serious regard. Sorry about the mess, Dean apologizes. I wasn't really expecting company tonight. Castiel nods. Nor did I expect to be company tonight. When Sam and Ruby set this up, I didn't expect you to be so... He pauses, looking for the right word. Appealing. Dean is embarrassed to find himself blushing a little. Are you saying you think I'm hot? He inches a little closer to Castiel on the couch. Castiel licks his lips. As you say, he leans closer still. 'Cause I gotta tell you, Dean adds, lowering his voice almost to a growl. That is one lousy-ass pickup line. He closes the remaining distance and presses his lips to Castiel's. For a moment, Castiel's mouth is hard and unyielding, but then his lips soften in part as he relaxes into the kiss. It's good, really good, and almost without thinking, Dean tangles his hands in Cass's hair, reveling in the softness of the strands. He groans low in his throat, suddenly wild for it. He can't get enough of Cass's taste and his scent and his feel, And he's crushing Cass's mouth to his own, sucking on his tongue, biting at his lips, feeling himself begin to harden in his pants. Castiel groans and breaks the kiss. "Dean," he gasps out. Then he's running his mouth along Dean's jaw, biting gently, and Dean groans. He needs skin-to-skin contact now, and he tugs at Cass's tie, tries to push the trench coat off his shoulders. But just as suddenly, Castiel is pulling away, putting distance between them and standing up. "I'm sorry," he says. "I can't do this." He's panting, and Dean can see the bulge in his pants that matches Dean's own.
"It's okay," Dean says. "We'll slow down."
Castiel shoots Dean a conflicted look.
"I should go."
He starts to turn.
"Wait," Dean says.
He moves to stand between Castiel and the front door.
"Look, I don't normally do this kind of thing, but I'd like to see you again."
Castiel starts to shake his head, but Dean cuts him off.
"No Sam and Ruby, no apartment hookups, just you and me and a real date."
A pause, then, "All right," Castiel agrees. His lips turn up in a half smile, and Dean finds himself grinning back.
"We'll try a real date."
Then he's out the door, leaving Dean alone with some vivid sense memories and the company of his own right hand. When Cass gets back to his own apartment, easier said than done since he'd left his car at Sam and Ruby's and he refused to ask Dean for a ride, he's both exhausted and a ball of nervous energy. So, of course, he calls his sister. Ruby picks up on the second ring.
"Cass, are you okay? What the hell happened tonight?"
Cass doesn't mince words. "He kissed me and it was good, but I started to lose control."
"God, Cass, you didn't..."
"No, I didn't," he reassures her. "But only because I pulled away in time. And now he wants to go on a real date, and I said yes, but I'll have to call tomorrow and cancel because it's a terrible idea."
"Wait, you said yes to a date?"
Ruby's tone is incredulous, and he can practically hear her beaming through the phone.
"Yes, but don't get excited. It doesn't mean anything."
"Of course it does," she exclaims. "You haven't said yes to a date in a decade. Dude, I am awesome. Best matchmaker ever."
"You won't say that when Dean ends up a drained husk of a corpse and I end up in prison."
Ruby heaves a sigh.
"It doesn't work that way if you don't let it. See, tonight you were strong enough to stop yourself."
Cass runs a hand over his face.
"It was already painful to break it off, and we were only kissing. I can't imagine how much it would hurt if things had gotten more intimate."
"Look," Ruby says flatly, "I don't want to go all TMI on you, but I hold that part of myself back every single time with Sam. At first, it's a little uncomfortable, but you get used to it, and it gets easier, I promise." Castiel doesn't know if he's as strong as Ruby, and he knows he should call Dean and cancel the date. But he also knows he doesn't want to, and that worries him most of all. "After my mom died, my dad had a hard time holding down a job. We ended up traveling cross-country a lot, didn't spend too much time in any given place." Dean doesn't usually tell people his life story, not his few friends, and certainly not potential flings. But as he sits here on a park bench with Castiel, he finds himself wanting to share, feeling like somehow Cass has already seen into the depths of his soul. And then he feels silly for being all over dramatic about it.
"When did you start writing?" Castiel asks, glancing at him sideways. "When Sammy went away to college. At first it was just for fun, give me something to do while he was gone. Then I tried submitting something just for the hell of it, you know? And, well," he shrugs, "it caught on, and here I am 10 years later."
"I'd like to read one of your books," Castiel tells Dean, who ducks his head.
"They're just kid books, not the great American novel," he says self-deprecatingly,
but he's secretly pleased all the same.
"How about you, Cass? Why computers?"
Castiel shrugs. "I'm not very good at interacting with people." He looks down, stuffs his hands in the pockets of his trench coat.
"I think you interact just fine," Dean says, and Cass's lips turn up at the corners. "Also, my fathers and uncles were very insistent, to put it mildly, that I join the family business. Studying computer science in college seemed like a suitable rebellion. Except for Ruby, I don't stay in contact with them anymore."
"Only you would see a computer science degree as a form of rebellion," Dean laughs.
"Do you miss them?" he asks, sobering.
"Sometimes." Castiel doesn't elaborate, just squints off into the distance. Dean wants to reach out.
"I loved my father, and I miss him a lot. But he wasn't really there for us, you know? He would leave me alone with Sammy for weeks at a time, and practically raised the kid. Anyway, I started collecting urban legends that go to my books when I was 12. Kept a journal full of them and everything. Why? Dean shrugs and leans forward, elbows on knees. We were moving from place to place all the time, not staying anywhere long enough to make friends. But along the way, I started to notice that every little town we passed through had some kind of supernatural story. A haunted house, an ancient ghost, an urban legend come to life, that sort of thing. So one day I swiped this little leather book from my dad and started jotting down notes. It just made me feel a little less rootless, you know? Like, we kept moving, but no matter where we were, the kinds of stories we'd find would stay the same. Dean sits up, runs his hands through his hair. I don't think I ever told anyone this story before, not even Sam. He looks at Castiel. What is it about you? He asks. Why do I want to tell you all these things? Castiel leans in and presses a gentle kiss to his mouth in response. 3 months later, and Dean has been spending all his free time with Castiel. They eat dinner together, go to the movies together. He lets Castiel drag him hiking, and then introduces him to his friends at the roadhouse. He even let Castiel read one of his novels. He tells Castiel that, whatever, it's just a stupid kid's book and he doesn't care if Cass doesn't like it, but he's also incredibly relieved when Cass tells him he liked it very much. That night, he reads Cass an excerpt from Bloody Mary and debates with him the merits of his editor's comments. It's nice to have someone to discuss his work with, he realizes. It's also nice to have someone to work with, and he looks forward to the nights when they sit side by side on the couch, working in companionable silence on their respective laptops. It's been an awesome 3 months, and Dean is actually pretty happy. He really likes Cass and feels just the tiniest bit of optimism that maybe, just maybe, this could really turn into something good. Except for one thing. The sex. Or lack thereof. Dean's tried. He's busted out all his best moves, but Castiel doesn't seem interested in moving beyond chaste kisses. Honestly, he's starting to wonder if Cass is even really gay, or if he's just looking for some kind of platonic life mate. While Dean doesn't mind taking things slowly, it's actually been kind of nice getting to know Cass outside the bedroom first. He's also slowly dying of blue balls, and he really, really wants to know what Cass looks like under that trench coat and suit. So he does what any normal guy would do. He complains to his brother, who, after applying several coats of brain bleach, complains to his fiancée, who calls her brother. You know, Dean is starting to think you're straight. Sam had to promise him that yes, you really are into guys, Ruby tells him. Thus, the next time Dean opens the door to his apartment, he finds Cass standing there with this really intense, determined look that gets Dean instantly hot. And then Castiel's hands are in his hair, and his lips are on Dean's, and it's hot and wonderful. And that's how Dean finds himself in bed with Castiel for the first time. They're lying side by side, fully clothed on Dean's comforter, making out slow and lazy and hot, and it's as amazing as Dean had imagined, all those nights touching himself alone in his bed. Cass pushes up Dean's shirt, caresses his stomach, and Dean's muscles flutter at the contact. God, he grits out, voice low and rough. Want you so bad, Cass. Wanted this for months. He runs his tongue down Cass's neck and nips at the tendons. Castiel gasps and tilts his head, affording Dean better access. Dean takes the opportunity to roll them over so and wedges one knee between Cass's legs. He's hard as a rock inside his pants, and he can feel Cass's matching hard-on pressing up against his hip. He shifts to give Cass some pressure, and Cass groans, hips instinctively bucking upwards. Feels good, Cass moans, and he kisses Dean with renewed force. Dean makes short work of the buttons on Cass's shirt and takes a minute to ogle his flat stomach and wiry frame as he straddles Cass's legs. Running his hands down Cass's side, Dean kisses his way down his chest, pausing to kiss the mole above Cass's right nipple. Then he takes the nipple into his mouth, licking and scraping it gently with his teeth. Cass goes quietly wild underneath him, gasping for breath. He pushes Dean back and tugs Dean's t-shirt over his head, and then the world flips and Dean finds himself on his back with Cass above him. Cass is looking wild and disheveled, his hair messy and eyes hot. He's fumbling with Dean's thigh, reaching inside Dean's pants, and finally, finally his hand is on Dean's cock. Yeah, just like that, touch me, Dean says, bucking up into Cass's fist. Castiel grins and lets go, but before Dean can protest, he moves down the bed, yanks down Dean's pants and boxers, and without warning, bends over and sucks Dean's cock into his mouth. Jesus Christ, Dean cries out, already lost in the warmth and wetness and suction. He reaches the edge embarrassingly quickly. It's been a while since Dean has been with anyone, and Cass is really good at this. Dean no longer doubts that Cass likes men, because, man, he knows his way around a blowjob. Dean's hips buck up and he grabs at Castiel's hair, but Cass just backs away, sucking Dean's balls into his mouth, while he slowly jerks Dean's cock. It feels good, so good, but it's no longer enough to make him come, and Dean whimpers at the loss of the perfect suction. As Cass stares into Dean's eyes, he sucks two fingers into his own mouth. Dean's cock twitches at the sight, and he kicks his pants off the rest of the way, giving himself room to spread his legs, and affording Castiel easier access. Then Cass's fingers are inside him, crooking upwards, hitting the perfect spot unerringly.
God, right there, do that again,
Dean shouts as pleasure shoots up his spine. And then Cass's mouth is back around his dick. He moves Dean's hand to his head, encouraging Dean to direct his movements. Dean can't stop his hips from jerking up.
Sorry, he grunts, but Cass just moans.
Dean looks down, mesmerized by the sight of Castiel's mouth stretched tight around his dick. Cass looks like he's loving this, like he loves the feel of Dean's cock in his mouth, and it's hot and wet and perfect, and it gets even better when Cass's fingers brush over his prostate again and again. Dean's vision blurs, pleasure sparks up his spine, and he explodes, hard, hips thrusting wildly, upper body rising off the bed involuntarily, muscles trembling. Cass's eyes close in apparent pleasure, and he sucks Dean through it, swallowing his cum without protest. Finally, it's over, and Cass releases Dean's dick before his touch becomes painful. A small trickle of cum runs down his chin. Cass wipes it off with his thumbs and sucks it into his mouth. Despite his exhaustion, Dean's cock twitches at the sight, and he tugs Castiel down into a deep kiss. He can taste himself in Cass's mouth, and a wave of bone-deep contentment washes over him. Castiel pulls away. Did you like that, Dean? He asks a little shyly. Dean can feel Cass's cock still hard and insistent against his leg, and he reaches down to caress his through his pants. Cass groans.
That was fucking amazing, Dean tells him with utmost sincerity.
He takes Cass's face in both hands.
I think,
he begins, but then falters, his stomach suddenly filled with butterflies.
Look, I've never said this to another person, and I know it's really soon and all, and I don't want to be creepy, but...
He presses a gentle kiss to the side of Castiel's mouth.
I think this could maybe work out. Then I might be falling for you.
Dean leans forward for another kiss, but Castiel is already pulling back. His face has gone pale and he's edging away. Dean feels like he's been doused with cold water.
What's wrong? He asks, but he already knows.
It's too much, too soon, too weird. And why should Cass be any different from the others anyway? The people who didn't stick around. His heart clenches and he sits up, fishing for his pants, feeling naked and vulnerable for the first time tonight.
Dean, I feel the same way, Castiel finally says as Dean gets dressed.
The words are what Dean wants to hear, but Castiel sounds miserable. When Dean turns, he's sitting on the side of the bed, head hanging down, mouth tightly drawn.
Then that's a good thing, right? Why do you look so miserable?
Castiel sighs.
Dean, there are things about me you don't know, but you need to know them, and I'm worried about how you'll react.
Dean considers this pronouncement.
Shit, man, don't tell me you're married.
Castiel shakes his head firmly.
No, nothing like that.
Dean sits down beside him.
So what then? You're an ex-con? You're really straight after all? You're actually a superhero in disguise?
Cass ignores Dean's attempt at a joke and draws a shaky breath.
When I was 23 years old, I was in bed with Michael Marino. He was my first boyfriend, and I liked him a lot.
Okay, Dean replies, uncertain where this is going.
We were having sex, and things were good, and then all of a sudden he had a heart attack.
Shit, Dean says. Cass doesn't look at him.
I called 911, and he got to the hospital in time, and he survived, but I broke it off with him after that. Because what happened was my fault, and I didn't want to risk it happening again. And I haven't dated since.
Dean is slightly dumbfounded.
So you haven't dated anyone in...
He does some mental calculations.
11 years, yes. Haven't had sex with anyone either?
Cass shakes his head.
In 11 years? Because an old boyfriend had a bad heart?
Dean asks incredulously. Cass looks at Dean, eyes intense.
You don't understand, Dean. He didn't have a bad heart. What happened was my fault.
Dean rests his hand on Castiel's shoulder.
Dude, there's no way that could be your fault. Shit just happens sometimes.
Cass shrugs off Dean's hand and stands.
When you were collecting stories as a teenager, did you ever come across any stories of the incubi?
Dean's eyebrows shoot up.
Male sex demons?
We're not demons, those are just stories. We're just genetically different from normal people. A slightly different species, if you will. But we do feed off sexual energy, just like in the stories, and if we take too much, we can drain our partners to death. I thought I had it under control, but then I got caught up in the moment with Michael. Castile starts to pace nervously. Dean can't help an incredulous laugh.
You've got to be fucking kidding me, man. An incubus? You really expect me to believe that shit?
It's true, Dean, Castile insists, but Dean is quickly getting furious.
You know what? Fuck you, he says, volume of his voice rising. I really thought we had something going here, but if you don't want to be with me, fine. Just tell me. Don't fucking stand there and insult my intelligence.
I'm not lying, Dean.
Then you're insane. There's no such thing as a sex demon.
I'm not a demon, Castiel insists.
Fine. Dean crowds into Castiel's personal space, meets his gaze defiantly. Prove it. Prove you're an incubus.
Castiel looks at him for a minute, then he closes his eyes, leans forward, and presses a gentle kiss to Dean's mouth. For a second, nothing happens. Then suddenly, Dean's entire body is on fire. Despite having come just minutes before, he's fully hard in his pants, throbbing and oh so close to orgasm. All he wants in the world is to touch Castiel, to feel Castiel's hands all over his body. He reaches out, desperate for contact, pulling at Cass's clothing, running his hands through Cass's hair, trying to get as close as physically possible, and then it's over, and the pleasure recedes as suddenly as it began. Dean's head clears, and Cass looks at him sadly and resigned.
That's my power, Dean, he says quietly.
Dean's legs threaten to collapse and sits down on the edge of the bed.
Holy shit, he gasps out. You're a...
He trails off.
Incubus, yes.
Dean has a realization.
Does that mean Ruby is...
A succubus. Sam doesn't know. But don't worry, he adds, before Dean can start to panic. Ruby knows how to control herself. Sam isn't in any danger.
How can you say that when you almost killed your boyfriend? Dean demands.
She's going to have to tell Sam, or I will. Another realization hits him.
So has any of this been real? He asks.
Our relationship, my feelings, or have you just put the whammy on me with your superpowers?
Cass sighs. Before tonight, I never once used my abilities on you. I don't want to hurt you, Dean. I have feelings for you, and I wanted to give this relationship a try. I'm just so tired of being alone.
Castiel looks very small, standing in the middle of Dean's bedroom, and part of Dean wants to reach out to him, but he just can't.
This is a lot to take in, he tells Cass. I need time. I think you should go.
Cass nods. He fishes his shoes out from under Dean's bed and leaves without another word. Dean hears the front door close in the distance. 3 hours later, Dean is sitting on his couch nursing a glass of Jack Daniels when there's a knock. He opens the door to his splotchy-faced Sam and wordlessly heads into the kitchen to grab a second glass of whiskey. For a couple of minutes, they just sit on the sofa together, nursing their drinks in silence.
Ruby told you? Dean asks.
Yep, Sam answers. He reaches for the whiskey bottle.
How the fuck does that even happen in real life? Dean wonders out loud.
It doesn't. The whole thing is fucking crazy.
I'll drink to that.
Dean gulps down the rest of his drink and pours himself another.
What happens now? He asks Sam.
I don't know. I mean, I get why she didn't tell me, but how can I ever trust her again?
At least you know you're safe with her. Cass almost killed a guy once.
He laughs humorlessly.
I really thought we had something special going, you know?
Sam nods. Ruby finally agreed to marry me.
I'm sorry, Dean says, almost surprised to realize he means it.
Somewhere along the way, he's stopped resenting Ruby. All those years it was just him and Sammy against the world, but he doesn't miss the way things used to be so much anymore.
What am I going to do, Dean? Sam asks, looking lost. Do you still love her? Dean asks.
Of course, Sam breathes out.
Then nothing's really changed, Dean says firmly.
Intellectually, he knows that's not really true. His entire world has changed. He thought he wrote fun, fictional horror novels for teens. Now he wonders if some of those stories might actually have been true. He thought he was in love with a man named Castiel. Now, while his feelings haven't changed, that man is something else entirely. I don't know how to be without her anymore, you know? And the damnedest part is, Dean does know. He's gotten used to having Cass around. They just click together so well.
You don't have to, he tells Sam quietly, but he doesn't know if he's telling the truth.
3 days later, Dean shows up unannounced on Castiel's doorstep.
Dean, Castiel says cautiously when he opens the door.
He doesn't look so good. There are circles under his eyes, and his tie is seriously askew. It makes Dean feel better to know he hasn't been the only one suffering these past couple days. Without saying anything, Dean takes Cass's face in both hands and kisses him. "I've decided it doesn't matter," he says against Cass's lips. "I love you, all of you." Castiel's body sags against Dean's and they hug, holding each other tight. "I love you too, Dean," he mumbles into Dean's neck. And then they're kissing, passion flaring, hot and intense. "Inside," Dean mumbles, gasping for air. They stumble into the house and Castiel kicks the door shut behind him. Then he pulls Dean down the hall to his bedroom while Dean yanks at his tie and unbuttons his shirt. Cass returns the favor, pulling Dean's t-shirt out of his pants and over his head. Finally, they're naked and on the bed and touching each other. Cass rolls up over Dean and kisses down his neck to his chest. He licks around Dean's nipples while his hands slide over Dean's stomach. Dean gasps and Cass grins up at him. He starts to slide down further, but Dean tugs at his shoulders and pulls him into a kiss. "Didn't get to touch you last time," he whispers. "Want to make you feel good?" "You do," Cass assures him. Dean runs his hands down Cass's body and circles his cock. Cass presses his face to Dean's shoulder and moans as Dean strokes him slowly, his other hand cupping Cass's balls. "Want this inside me," he groans. Castiel pulls away. "I don't want to hurt you, Dean." "You won't," Dean promises. "You'll control it like Ruby does. I trust you." Cass stares at him for a moment, considering. Finally, he pulls a bottle of lube and a foil packet out of his nightstand and tosses them on the bed. Without another word, he shifts down the bed and takes Dean into his mouth. "Yes," Dean hisses. It's as amazing as he remembered, all perfect heat and suction. It gets even better when Cass pours some lube onto his fingers and presses first one, then two into Dean. It's cold at first, but it feels oh so good as Cass finds that perfect spot and Dean is bucking up into his mouth, unable to restrain himself. His hands slip down to tangle in Cass's hair, and Cass moans around Dean's cock like he loves it. The vibrations are amazing. "Gonna come," Dean grits out, and Cass releases his cock with a pop. He grabs for the condom, tearing open the package and rolling it over himself. Dean is mesmerized by the sight of Cass's hands on his own cock as he coats himself with the slick. Then he's between Dean's legs and pressing against his entrance. "Are you sure?" he whispers. Dean is certain. "You won't hurt me." Cass nods solemnly. "I held back the other night. I can hold back now." "So fuck me already," Dean says, in a hoarse voice that turns into a groan when Cass pushes inside. The momentary twinge of pain gives way to pleasure as Cass's cock rubs against his prostate just right. For a minute, Cass stays still, frozen and trembling above Dean. "Are you okay?" Dean asks. "It's been a long time," Cass grits out. "Don't want it to end right away." Dean draws his knees up, allowing Cass even deeper access, and he massages the muscles in Cass's back. "It's okay. Go on all night." And then Cass is pounding into him, hard and fast, and it's so good Dean almost can't stand it. He thinks he might even be able to come untouched. One of Cass's hands comes down to twine with Dean's, and Dean leans up, licking and biting at the side of Cass's neck. "Is it all or nothing?" he asks, moaning with the force of each thrust. Cass's eyes are screwed shut, but he gets what Dean's asking, and he shakes his head. "Can open up a little." "Would you like that?" He shakes his head again. "Dangerous." "I trust you." Dean grabs at Cass's ass, loving the firmness of the muscles as they contract, pushing into Dean over and over and over. Suddenly, the feeling from the other day is back, and Dean goes wild as every nerve in his body flares with ecstasy. He can feel Cass everywhere. Every place Cass is touching him is singing, sending shockwaves through his system, and he can't catch his breath or control his body. It feels like 1,000 mini orgasms are hitting him one right after the other. "Jesus Christ," he shouts. And then Cass's mouth is on his, Cass's hand is on his cock, and before Dean can think, his vision goes white. His brain blinks out and he's coming, harder than he ever has before, fountaining all over his own chest and stomach. His mouth falls open, his body arches off the bed, and he can't stop the sounds coming out of his throat. Cass slams into him hard and shouts out with him, muscles shaking as he comes too. It goes on and on until Dean thinks he just might die, but what a way to go. Finally, it's over, and Cass pulls out and collapses to the bed next to him. "Holy shit," Dean says, panting. Cass ties off the condom and tosses it towards a trash can. Then he rolls back into Dean's arms. "Thank you," he says into Dean's neck. "Thank you," Dean replies. "What does it feel like for you?" he asks. running gentle hands along Cass's shoulders. Cass shrugs. It's more intense, energizing. I can feel you everywhere, your heat and your energy, and it makes me hotter, too. Tomorrow I'll have more energy, since I took some of yours. When does it get unsafe? If we do it too often, or if you're already feeling run down or sick.
So we'll save it for special occasions, then.
Cass looks at Dean, his eyes filled with gratitude. I love you, he says, and kisses Dean. Dean breaks the kiss and pulls back.
Man, Ruby is going to give us so much shit, he says with a groan.
Cass laughs and kisses Dean's shoulder. 1 month later.
I see you met my Uncle Alistair, Cass says, handing Dean a drink and steering him away from his relatives.
Dude, what is his deal? Dean asks, thoroughly creeped out.
He was probably interested in you. Alistair isn't known for his enlightened view of humans, or his observance of socially appropriate boundaries.
Dean shudders. He has no interest in becoming a meal for anyone in Cass's family, let alone creepy Uncle Alistair, who smiles at Dean in a way that makes him deeply uncomfortable.
Don't worry, I'll protect you, Cass says, with a sly smile, and Dean can't resist leaning in for a kiss.
Well, aren't you two nauseatingly cute, Ruby says, as she and Sam come up behind them.
Sammy, Ruby, Dean greets them, moving away from Castiel. He leans down to give Ruby a kiss on the cheek.
Congratulations, he tells her, with sincerity.
Thanks, Dean. So, best engagement party ever, right? Except for the family, of course. Now you see why Cass and I avoid them.
Ruby winks and takes a sip of her drink.
At least your Uncle Zachariah thinks I have upper management potential, Sam reminds Ruby with a grin.
He only says that because he wants to get in your pants, Ruby responds, and Sam shudders visibly.
What is with your family and hitting on other people's boyfriends? Dean asks, exasperated. Is that really what you want to marry into, Sam?
Sam grins. Not just me, Dean. He glances pointedly at Dean and Cass's entwined hands.
Well, this one isn't so bad.
Ow, he says, flinching as
Cass pokes him in the side. He grabs for Castiel and they wrestle playfully. The roughhousing turns into a kiss, and when they surface for air, Sam and Ruby have disappeared.
Guess we scared them, Dean says.
They're just jealous, Cass says, and Dean laughs and drags Cass back into his arms. The end.